Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on The Fan. One stop to make, and it's with friend of the show, national NBA writer, Open Floor Podcast, and Washington Post, and WashingtonPost.com is where you can find all of his work, if I can talk properly. Ben Golliver joins us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Ben Golliver. Ben, thanks for taking some time for us out here in Portland, man. I'll just start with the matchup. We were talking about it, and all the moving parts with it, and Vegas has the Blazers as the favorite. Do you like this matchup for Portland?
Well, let me just say, I procrastinated a lot in school, but these Western Conference teams procrastinating to not only the last night of the season, but the last quarter of the last night of the season, the last minute of the last quarter of the last night of the season before they actually set the matchups was really something to see last night. I don't love this matchup for Portland, but first things first, my heart goes out to Yusuf Nurkic because this was the matchup where they're going to miss him the most and the fans are going to miss him the most. And it's just a shame that he's not going to be out there because you could just picture him, you know, close your eyes and picture him battling with Steven Adams. You know, it's going to be a blood sport battle back and forth. And unfortunately, we're not going to get that. I think for Portland, it's a winnable series. I'm picking Thunder in six. But it's not out of the question that the Blazers can get this done. The key is going to be following the same blueprint that other teams have had here the last couple of years. Try to egg Westbrook on. Try to let him do everything. Try to let him beat you from the mid-range or beat you from outside the three-point line because he will get himself so wound up in the playoffs. He will get himself going in so many different directions that he will wind up causing harm to his own team. I think if the Thunder stay oriented around Paul George, if Paul George is able to play like he has throughout this season, and if he's healthy, the Thunder will win that series. If Westbrook goes into takeover mode like we've seen these last couple of years, it's there for Portland's taking.
But you mentioned Yusuf Nurkic not playing. I think every Blazer fan agrees with you. It's a bummer. The rivalry he and Westbrook had built, too, was a lot of fun. How do Cantor and Collins replace him? It feels like it's a two-man job because Cantor's not great defensively, and we know that. And if there's any team that knows how to attack him, it will be Oklahoma City. And then Collins maybe slightly better defensively. How do you think that combo can go about replacing Nurkic?
No, that's exactly the thing. I mean, Oklahoma City should know how to attack Enes Kanter, but let's see if they're disciplined enough to do it, right? I mean, if you have a guy like Chris Paul going at Enes Kanter, you know it's over because he's such a tactician. He's so intelligent. He's going to be able to exploit Kanter's, you know, lack of lateral quickness and his kind of below average, you know, rim protection. But, you know, is Westbrook going to be able to lock in on that weak link and do it over and over again? I think he's going to have to prove that. I think it's a huge matchup disadvantage, though, overall for Portland in the middle. I think Collins is going to be, you know, not really strong enough, big enough to keep up with Steven Adams. And I think with Cantor, I mean, that guy is just a black hole for points for the other team. So if Oklahoma City is able to keep their offense focused, and attack him, it's going to be tough for him to hold up throughout this series and going forward in the playoffs.
You know, Ben, I just saw a little snippet. Quick had a quote, and basically, I think you know this as well as anybody else in the city, that if they are to fall to Oklahoma City in round one, Neil does have to tee up. Hey, CJ got banged up late. We lost Nurk for the series. We couldn't have him. It was tough, but we tried. There's a quote in a Quick piece that just came out, basically said, you can give us an excuse. We don't want it. Now, that might run counter to what Neil says if they do fall in round one. How would you view those two things if they are to be eliminated in round one yet again as a fan?
Well, look, it's obviously going to be a contributing factor, an excuse, whatever you want to call it, that Nurk injury. But I like that messaging, to be honest, because if you're a player in Portland's locker room, you're sitting around thinking, hey, we won 50-plus games. We earned this seed. We've got home court advantage. Oklahoma City is not some super team, dream team, Space Jam 2 collection of talent, right? I mean, they've got three or four guys who can play, and Steven Adams is banged up from the other night. His shoulder's screwed up, and same thing with Paul George. He's been banged up here for the last couple of months. So I think you want to project confidence if you're the Blazers. Obviously, you prefer to have Nurkic. Obviously, your season's going to go on much longer if you have Nurkic. But you don't want to start letting those mental seeds kind of plant before the series even starts. Confidence is going to be a huge thing here. You know, if you look back to last year when Utah beat Oklahoma City, their poise, their confidence, Donovan Mitchell rising to the task, Utah's coaching staff making the right defensive adjustments, picking on Carmelo Anthony when he was playing for Oklahoma City, and really controlling the style of play and allowing that to be a defensive series, that's what won them the series. They didn't do anything crazy, spectacular, out of this world. They were just, you know, confident in themselves, their own style, and they took it to Oklahoma City, and ultimately they won. I think you've got to follow that blueprint if you're Portland. Clearly, you can't really match Utah's defense, so you're going to have to, you know, play to your own strengths, and I think that's really where Damian Lillard comes in. It's time for him to have a big postseason bounce back. 18 points per game against the Pelicans, that's not enough. He needs to be doubling that number in this series. He needs to be the best player on the court if Portland's going to pull this off.
Yeah, and on that, how do you think OKC matches up defensively against him? I mean, because last year the numbers weren't great, and it was really the game plan for New Orleans was just swarm Dame and CJ anytime they had the ball, and Drew Holiday and Rondo did a great job of doing that, and then you didn't have role guys to step up. How does OKC match up defensively trying to slow down Damian Lillard in Portland?
Yeah, well, Westbrook is a big physical defender, but he's not the most locked in all the time or aware defender. He gambles a lot. He's kind of all over the map, so you can exploit him a little bit. The one thing I would worry about is just like the size and the length that Oklahoma City brings to the table, the athleticism. I mean, that's a real factor, and we've seen not only Damian but CJ struggle with some of that stuff in the postseason, so that's something to keep an eye on. I think if I was Oklahoma City, I would be real tempted to just stick Paul George on Damian and just say, hey, let's see how much success he can have. If you can neutralize Damian, you're going to win this series. So I don't know if they'll do that right out of the gate, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the adjustments that unfolds over the course of the series. But there should be the opportunity for Damian Lillard to score points. And look, bottom line, if you're an All-NBA first or second team player and Damian Lillard's now in this conversation, it shouldn't matter the matchup. It shouldn't matter the scheme. You've got to go out there and get your points. Ask Steph Curry what it's like getting bumped around for years in the postseason, getting double and triple teamed and people trying to keep the ball away from you, face guarding you when you're off the ball. That's just life in the playoffs. And I think that's why it's time for Damian here to step up and have a big series.
Yeah, Ben, you said 18 points last year in that series. And I just thought, what? I felt like he scored 4 points per game at some points during that matchup. We're talking with Ben Golliver, Washington Post, national NBA writer, Open Floor podcast as well. Catch you. His podcast as well. On this matchup with OKC, let's not throw Dame in it. I think you can throw Dame in it because everything you've mentioned with he needs to step up and play better. Who is the wild card for Portland that if this person plays well, they will find themselves in a position to win the series?
You know, I would just say the wild card is CJ because of the health factor. I don't totally know what to expect. I understand he came back and looked pretty good in his first game. It's tricky, though, when you're coming off injuries. Can you sustain your quality play? Do you take a step forward and a step back when you're working your way back from an injury? And look, we know they need the offensive scoring balance, and I still don't trust a lot of those wing guys to step up and do it in the playoffs. Like I mentioned, Oklahoma City's got physical, big defensive players. They cover a lot of ground on the perimeter. They've got a bunch of switchable guys. They're not going to be giving all sorts of just wide open contested looks to Portland secondary guys. And so that's why I think, you know, it's incumbent upon, you know, Damian and CJ to sort of rise to the moment here. And I think it's, you know, that's really what I'm hoping to see more than anything from Portland's side is, like, you don't have your big three, you know, because Nurkic is not there, but the remaining big two need to step up and do it. And we've seen other guys do that in the past. I mean, you go back, for the Thunder, when Westbrook got injured in that playoff series 4 or 5 years ago, Kevin Durant steps up. You know, James Harden's been dealing with injuries around him all season long. Clint Capella, Chris Paul, James Harden steps up. And so it's on those guys. I mean, it's a simple formula. Your best players have to play well in the playoffs. And that's what I want to see from the Blazers.
Yeah, and speaking of health, too, I know maybe some people haven't followed as closely as you, obviously. The Paul George shoulder injury, he's been dealing with it. We all saw the game winner the other night, and I think the numbers have gotten slightly better. But where do you gauge where he's at health-wise?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think we're getting the full story on that. His shooting numbers have not been what they were. I mean, he started this season just red hot. And I was sitting here thinking, like, I knew Paul George was good. I didn't know he was this good. Like, this guy, you know, a top three player in the league was how he was playing there for, like, 3 months straight. And that seemed like he was, you know, kind of above his own weight class there a little bit. If you go back to his play in last year's postseason, too, though, that's another big reason why Oklahoma City went early. I mean, this guy loves talking about playoff P. You know, he calls himself that. He came up with that nickname himself. He did not show up late in that series against Utah. He is prone to have duds in the postseason. It happened back in the Indiana days. It certainly happened last year for Oklahoma City, where if he doesn't have his shot going, their offense is going to grind down. It's going to become too reliant upon Westbrook, and they're going to get inefficient. So, again, I think that's why if you're Portland, you know, you've got some pretty interesting matchups you could throw on them. Aminu is built very well physically, strength, size, and quickness to work on a Paul George. You know, Mo Harkless isn't the worst option. They've got some other options there on the wing to throw on him. I think Paul George is a very, very good player, but he's not like a Kevin Durant-level matchup nightmare or a Giannis-level matchup nightmare where you just kind of throw your hands up and pray. I mean, I think you can have some success on him, and Portland will need to do that.
Yeah. All right, Ben, get you out of here with a two-parter. One, who's first team, Steph or Dame? This is your opinion. And two, how's the series go?
Look, it's Steph, man. I don't think we need to be overthinking this. To me, he's a top three, top four player in the entire league. He missed a little time with injury, but he's been phenomenal. I also think, by the way, his teammate, Kevin Durant's getting overlooked in a lot of these MVP conversations, too. I know everyone loves to talk about his moodiness and, you know, all this other, you know, drama. Is he going to New York and all this? You know what? He's a baller, and he's been killing it all season long, and that's why they're the number one seed, and that's why they're going to win the finals for the third straight year. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Durant winds up coming home with his third straight finals MVP, and now everybody's ready to say, finally, you know, that he's better than LeBron James. In terms of Portland series, though, I think the Thunder are going to win it in six. I think they've got a slightly bigger margin for error just because of the health factor. I think I would have picked Portland probably in six or seven if Nurkic was healthy, and that shows you what a big blow that injury was.
There we go. Ben Golliver, great work. National NBA writer for the Washington Post. Open Floor Podcast as well with Andrew Sharp. Kind enough to take a couple minutes with us out here in the 503. Ben, thanks so much, man, and let's enjoy these NBA playoffs.
All right, guys. I want to hear that Moda Center loud on TV. I won't be there. I want to hear it loud, though, through the speakers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.